Welcome to the Upshot subscriber bonus segment this week. I'm Charlie. He's Jamie. Thank you for being a subscriber. Today we're going to be talking about how you might, in this time, take a second to completely rethink how the professional touring season looks. And I think this is a, you know, sort of obviously a good time to do something like that because we have the stoppage and we have the opportunity to say, okay, well, you know, what's working and what's not? I read a really interesting sports newsletter, it's an Olympics newsletter, and it was talking about this, that this is an opportunity. You know, the Olympics just had to postpone by a year. This is a great chance to think about, like, well, what does the future of the Olympics look like? What does the future of international sport look like? Do we have to keep doing it the same way we've been doing it just because that's how we've been doing it? Maybe not. So we're going to do the same thing for disc golf. And Jamie, I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, given that the tour is now logical in the sense that there is a geographic flow to the pro tour and national tour season that makes sense, unlike, you know, even 5 years ago when it was kind of like all over the place, what problems do you see with the current system?
The problem, I think the pain point, let's address it from that perspective. The pain point for fans that I see the most is that it's got to be around the majors. I think there's a lot of debate still. I still don't think we have a unified opinion as a fan base on what Worlds should or shouldn't be, or when or where it should or shouldn't be, and all this other stuff. So if you kind of extrapolate that out to all the majors, you know, remember, we've gotten angry emails that we don't talk about amateur and age-protected majors because they have an M, even though they have an M next to them. So I think, like, from a, if we're playing fantasy commissioner here, the first place I start is putting the big tent poles down. And to me, that's your majors. So you're going to love this, Charlie. First order of business, if I'm playing fantasy commish, four majors.
You and I agree 100% on this point.
Four. Yeah.
Not five.
Not five. Three.
But four.
Just four. Grand four. Slam.
I've been beating the drum. We'll continue to do so. Here's my pitch, okay? I've thought about this.
Okay.
Here's what you do. Number one, you need to have some structure and regularity to the major season. One of the things that's irritated me ever since I started following disc golf is that aside from USDGC, there is no regularity. I mean, I thank God that there's at least one tournament that happens at the same time of year, at the same place every time.
And I don't even necessarily... So.
Huh?
And has a history of doing so, exactly. More importantly.
But yeah. the rest of the major season, and it's not even about the course, you know, selection. It's fine if they move around. I wouldn't even really be bothered if USDGC moved around. But the lack of regularity to the season is very annoying to me. Some years, there's no majors until August. August, February, March, April, May, June, July. That's 6 months of disc golf without a major. That is crazy. Those seasons, well, this was just like 2 years ago or something. When that happens, it is excruciating to do a disc golf podcast because you're constantly talking about the first major, which is months away. It cannot happen like that going forward. So here's my pitch. You have I don't care what you call this, but the fourth major, the PDGA Championship or the Player Championship is major number one, and it takes place in the spring. And probably that means April or maybe May. Perhaps you could go into March. But I think you got to let players kind of knock the rust off late February, get a couple of non-Heiser Fest tournaments in March, and then you can have a major. Boom. Like, isn't it cool? You know, obviously, crossing our fingers that Worlds happens. It's really nice in some sense that there's a major in mid-June this year because you get to have this event. But it sucks that it's Worlds because that feels like it's supposed to be the pinnacle, and that shouldn't be the first one. Or at least it shouldn't generally, it should rarely be the first one. So you have the player championships or the PGA championships or whatever you want to call it. And then you have a summer overseas tournament that's maybe European, maybe usually European, but it could also be an Asia Pacific tournament some years. But or maybe you just say, no, we're always doing a European Open in the summer. And it could be at different courses or whatever, but you have a major tournament in Europe. It makes a lot of sense given the professional scene and the popularity in Europe and particularly in Finland. And then you have USDGC in October, which for my money should also be the US Championships for FPO, and they should have an FPO division. And then you have Worlds, and Worlds is not always in the United States. And, you know, I know that there's logistical reasons that it is now, and I think it can still frequently be in the United States, but sometimes should be in Japan or in Australia or in South America. And it's an actual world championship. And that, to me, sets the groundwork for a really exciting season. And maybe someday you figure out how to make the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship its own major. But I think we're not there yet, so I don't want to force that.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm open to that last idea, but I do think you're right. It's not... That's got to be tabled for now. That's like, you just signal that you're open to it, to a discussion down the road, but right now, especially because of the weird format.
The format couldn't stay as it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have to go with something a little more traditional. Okay, I've been thinking as you're saying this, because something occurred to me based on what the tour does right now. The shape of the tour geographically across the U.S., and again, this whole discussion, we're going to talk U.S. tour. We don't want to leave the Europeans out. Obviously, we'll talk about majors going over, but as far as like the Euro tour and things like that, I just don't have enough information to make a qualified call or educated guess. So if you have Euro Tour thoughts, send them in. We might be able to read them on an upcoming episode. But for the U.S., here's something that stands out to me. They do it right geographically. You start in the desert, you go through Texas, you go through the South earlier in the spring where temperatures are a little more amenable. You know, you're not in the dead heat of summer trying to play Texas States or play in Waco. That just would be brutal. And then you wait till it warms up north to kind of track that way. Good plan. The problem with that plan is it never gives the southern U.S. an opportunity to host Worlds. Because as somebody who lived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and has gone through many a summer, you're not going to host a world championship down in that weather. Nobody wants to come play it. Right. So it's either like Worlds in March or the South doesn't get Worlds. And you know, they've had it in Augusta because the IDGC is obviously theirs. And that was in 2017. And then before that was in 2006. Outside of that, I'm looking and it's like, you're talking like Emporia or Charlotte. Those are the southern most cities that have hosted Worlds in between those stints. So if we want to make Worlds a traveling event, I think we have to do this because of the way the tour is laid out. I think you have to have a committee that certifies courses for Worlds. I think it's okay to have it move. So that gets your point there, Charlie. But we have to do something that Drew talked about that the Pro Tour does very well, preserve the player experience. We've got to make sure that we're holding it on great courses, that have the ability to handle spectators, that allow companies to come out and have a fly mart and do all those traditional things for Worlds and leave room for growth and improvement because more people are going to want to watch. So you obviously have to have media connectivity and all that kind of stuff. So I think Worlds should be a traveling major, but it should be restricted to qualified courses, not just whatever club submits a good bid. Mm-hmm. You have to agree to host it on at certain places.
And you think about the structure that I'm suggesting with a new, you know, a new PDGA championship or the players, you can have that be a little less stringent with its requirements in terms of what the courses are like and what all the amenities are, because Worlds is still going to be held as the premier event. That's happening now. It will continue to happen. That's fine. And so if you want to put a major in the South, no problem. You can go host your tournament. You can have the PDGA championships be in Florida or in Louisiana. And, you know, you would have to adjust the schedule of events to allow for that, because we know the geography is still very important. But you could do it in a way that made sense if you have the opportunity to host an event, you know, if you want to do in the South, let's say, in the spring, rather than trying to do it in the summer when we know it's just too much, too hot, too humid.
Here's the other thing that opens up. So we're sticking with four majors. I want to say, let's nail down USDGC because it's less discussion. I like that it stays. I know you said it can move. Here's my proposal for this co-commish thing that we're doing all of a sudden. It stays. It always stays at Winthrop. And we have the USWDGC. The United States Championships now becomes a two-week-long thing. USWDGC starts out in the Charlotte area, the greater Charlotte area, and over time can whittle down to specific courses in that region, and it happens the weekend prior. 2 weeks, the women, then the men. We already do this in other sports. When you see the college football national championship, when you see the Super Bowl, the biggest stage gets, by default now, gets a two-week buffer at least from the last playoff game, sometimes like a month. Look at how these other big sports are doing it. So when we get done with the national tour, and the pro tour has to go to, the pro tour finale has to go before USDGC in this world too. I'm going to retroactively correct that because you have to end on a major in this fantasy world. But so you end your national tour season, you end the pro tour season, then you have USWDGC in the same metro area as USDGC that allows all of the players who want to be fans of the other division to be able to go and watch and spectate, help do media, participate, be a part of the experience and support one another like they do on tour throughout the year. So it brings that element back, but it allows each event to cater to the specific needs of MPO versus FPO, which Sarah Hokum highlighted are very different. That's my compromise. Are you good with that?
Well, I mean, I think we could get into the details of that. I mean, we talked to Sarah Hokum about the fact that she wants to play at USDGC, but also wants for there to be a women's focused event. So I'm not sure I'm with you on this, to be honest. I think that the professional top touring women need to have their US championship be a part of USDGC. To me, it doesn't make sense to have this tournament that is, you know, outside of Worlds considered the most prestigious title in the sport, be exclusive to MPO.
But it's not.
I mean, Jamie, come on. I know that you can qualify as an FPO player, but it's not. It's meaningless. It's meaningless.
Okay, but you still can't say exclusive.
Okay, but you get my point. I mean, you're trying to nitpick something that is not, like, it's not realistically a tournament that is designed for there to name a female champion.
But I think that's the point Sarah's making. I think that that's the point of USWDGC and why she's saying that it needs to be a slightly different event, because my point in all this, it's not to be exclusive, right? And the point's not to nitpick, but the point is to say that there is a purpose for one event. And I think that if you make an event that allows the FPO division to be the highlight of the event, like, let's design something for them and let's give everybody the opportunity to support that.
I do not disagree.
We just don't think it's the same way.
I just don't think it's a major. I just think that that's a separate concept. It's a different event. And maybe you do it differently. Maybe there's four majors for FPO, but they're not the same ones. Maybe you don't do, like, there's still FPO at the European Open, but it's not maybe considered a major for FPO. I mean, you don't see a lot of the top touring women go over there right now anyway. You could have this sort of female-only, FPO-only, more celebratory event that Sarah was talking about with us last week. And then you also have the U.S. Championship, which is part of USDGC. Now, listen, I'm speaking for me. I'm not trying to speak for FPO players. I'm just thinking about the way that I think it should look. So that's what I'd like to see. I mean, your idea is not crazy to me. The problem is, remember what Sarah talked about last week, the regionality of the current existing U.S. Women's Championship is a big part of it. So if you always put it in Charlotte, then it's always going to be seen as a second tier event that is not going to be spectated in the same way as USDGC, and it's always going to be in Charlotte, when that means that, you know, players on the West Coast, for example, aren't going to, like, local regional type players aren't going to be able to go. So I think you need to have
two
separate concepts here. And perhaps, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, if the top FPO players don't care about USDGC enough to say, we want to have this be a major for us too, then fine. I mean, then that should be accommodated. I mean, they really should have some say into that, because it's for, you know, it's for them, right? If you're talking about putting them at USDGC, it wouldn't be an event that would be for, you know, 250 women. It would be for 40. And so those 40 players should have a lot of say in that concept. But I think it's possible that you could have the U.S. Championship be that exclusive event that is a part of USDGC, and then you can have a separate event that is like the more celebratory FPO, Big Tent, AMs and Pros event that exists today.
All right. So further discussion would need to be had in the co-commish administration, but we can safely say that there needs to be a U.S. title for FPO and MPO.
We agree with that. And we agree on that 100%.
Good. All right, let's move on to problems we can solve now.
Okay.
The other advantage that this brings, going back to the Worlds thing, is, like you said, bringing in Japan, bringing back in Australia, who knows, maybe Thailand one day. I mean, obviously not on the courses they have now, but they have excited people running events and putting on quality enough events to pull people over. So that part of the world needs to have the opportunity to have a major as well. What I like about your PGA PDGA championship, players championship idea being flexible is that one year, okay, we need an early major in the spring. Okay, the Southern US can host it. Okay, we don't have that this year. Okay, Australia can get back on the map, host a major again. Oh, Japan can host a major again. You know, somewhere... you know, Thailand or places other in the Southern Hemisphere, maybe South America one day, because the weather is going to be better over there, our winter, their summer, right? So it allows that flexibility as well, where one of those two things can take that spring major spot. I love European Open and the summer major spot. And I do like Worlds in the fall, but again, the problem we come back to is regionality, where most likely you're getting a Midwestern or Northeastern Worlds. It's you're heavily favoring those types of courses for the World Championship over the long run. So that's probably still the area we need to solve for the four major system.
Well, I just think, you know, you have the flexibility with your PDGA championship to put it in the opposite spot of the calendar as Worlds. So if you want to do an early Worlds in, I don't know, randomly saying this, this is not realistic, but let's say you wanted to do it in San Diego. So you're going to have it in late April Worlds in San Diego. Well, then you can put your PDGA championship elsewhere in the calendar in the fall before USDGC. That's fine. But if you want to have Pro Worlds be in Vermont, then you have your PDGA championship in the spring, like it would normally be. You know, presumably most of the time, Worlds is going to take place in the summer or the fall. And, you know, there could be times where you do it like very early, like if you put it in the Southern Hemisphere or something, like there's some opportunity to make some changes. The problem is with the three major system that we're basically been sitting on for the last couple of years, you have European in the summer, USDGC in the fall, and then sometimes it's Worlds in the fall, and then there's just nothing until the European major, and that's terrible. So that's the biggest thing. Like, you want to have that sense of structure to the overall season and not just feel like the first 3 to 4 to 6 months is just kind of waiting for that first major to happen.
Yeah, I think fans want a barometer of where their favorite pros are at different marks throughout the season.
I mean, I definitely do.
Like, a quarter of the way through the season should be the first major, ideally, if you could just put it out on paper. So, because then at least you know. Like, you can see, we can sort of mark time. It's hard to mark time in disc golf.
I mean, you think about golf having the Masters in April. Like, you start the season, and then you get the Masters. It's great.
Yeah, you got to be ready to go.
It's great.
I guess the golf season technically starts in October. They're kind of weird because they don't really have an off season.
That's true.
Point taken. Like, you still have winter and holidays, and everybody takes the time off. So you still have to get back into it.
Yeah, right? I mean, I know there's golf tournaments year round, but like important tournaments don't. You know, you're thinking about basically March to September, October, same as disc golf.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy ain't playing in December.
Right. But you kick off the season with maybe the most famous and most prestigious major. And I'm not saying that disc golf needs to do it that way, but to not have a major at all for 6 months doesn't make any sense at all, period. We're going to break here and conclude part one of our conversation about the future tour. And we're going to pick up next week in our subscriber bonus segment with the conversation about what the rest of the tour could look like and fit in around the majors. So we'll talk about where the season should begin, what it should look like, giving space to the majors, and a bunch more. So thanks so much. I didn't want to put it all into this week's because we recorded for almost an hour. So tune back in for part two next week. Thanks so much for being a subscriber. We'll talk to you then.